SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Turn up the lights this summer with SBS. The Parasocial Social Club sees comedians Jenny Tian and Kevin Jean swapping sharp, funny takes on life, friendships, and all the awkward moments in between. Comedy Karma brings you Australia's best comics as host Aditya Gautam uncovers the story behind their favorite jokes. Listen now on the SBS Audio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 10th of February 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market finished steady at 8,867, but it did reverse gains made early in the day, a lot of it happening at the end of the session. And it basically had to do with one company, CSL, the biopharma company, shares tumbling from $183.64 at the very end of the session to $171.39. So by the close, it ended up down 5%, and that's because its CEO, Paul McKenzie, resigned with immediate effect. Elsewhere, the insurers were down across the board. Insurance Australia Group off by 6.2%, QBE 3.4%. We'll tell you why in a few moments. Technology stocks did well. NEXTDC recovering 3.4%, Zero up 2.2%. Uranium miners also gaining ground, along with the iron ore producers, BHP adding 1.1%. To tell us more about the day's market moves, including the future concerns about AI, I spoke with Todd Hall. He's the head of public markets at LGT Wealth Management. So Todd, after a huge sell-off on the market on Friday, the market recovered most of those losses on Monday, and those gains continued today, the ASX at a near three-month high. How would you describe investor sentiment at the moment, and what are they reacting to?
That's a good question, Ricardo. I think it is important just to put some of those single day moves into context, first of all, though. So the observed volatility for the ASX 200 was basically at its lowest level in over 2 years. So maybe that's overly calm. Maybe we could construe it as complacent even for the level of uncertainty that we're seeing in some sectors. But I think that creates some of these single day outsized moves. The second factor that I think is worth just remembering is that domestically, most of corporate Australia are in a communication blackout due to upcoming earnings. So we don't have a lot of stock specific information to go off. Valuations aren't cheap. That heightens sensitivity to news and events. And then lastly, there's tremendous uncertainty around AI and its impact and how that's going to change business models for not only some of the best companies in Australia, but probably some of the best companies in the world. And as you well know, that uncertainty, investors hate it. That's the worst thing that they can have in their investing environment, and that creates volatility.
I want to go into AI in a few moments, but first we've seen the Australian dollar go from strength to strength, approaching 71 US today, the highest in almost 3 years. How much of this is a US weakness story, and how much of it, I guess, are domestic influences? And what does it mean for investors, especially as we head into profit reporting season?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the Aussie has rallied about 5 or 6%, probably closer to 6% over the last several weeks versus the US dollar to 71 cents, as you point out. But the trade weighted index, which is the Aussie against 18 or 19 of our biggest trading partners, that is stronger as well, but it's not quite as strong. So it's only up about 4% over the last several weeks. So I think that's probably telling us that a large part of the Aussie dollar strength is weakness in the US dollar. Which has several reasons for it. The labour market there's been a little bit weaker of late, but specifically to Australia, there is certainly a number of factors that are idiosyncratic to us. As you'd be well aware, the RBA delivered a hawkish hike last week, and markets are now priced for maybe one to two more rate hikes. And that really stands in contrast to the US, the EU, the UK. There are several emerging markets that are probably going to see a lower path of interest rates next year. Commodity prices have been strong of late. So thermal coal prices are at their highest level in a year. Met coal prices have been strong. Iron ore has tailed off a little bit, but it's probably been a bit more resilient than expected. So there are a couple of domestic factors that I think are certainly helping support the Aussie. But what I would say is that over the last 30 to 40 years, the Aussie has averaged 74, 75 cents, somewhere around that mark. And so we're probably just normalizing from very, very below average levels. Just to circle back in terms of what does it mean for reporting season? Hopefully nothing. It would be a little bit ominous if a company called out the Aussie dollar as being an excuse or a reason for their results to not be strong. And the reason for that is that the Aussie was incredibly stable over the 6 months to December. So it traded between about 64 and 66 cents in the main. So it should not be a factor at all in terms of the results. It might, as you point out, it might influence outlook statements. But generally speaking, the Aussie is a risk on. It's a pro-cyclical currency. So it won't be a huge headwind, certainly not at these levels. And generally, I think there's a nice relationship between Aussie equity markets outperforming global equity markets and Aussie dollar strength. So I think what we might find is that investors are embracing a slightly stronger dollar, and I think the RBA might as well.
Speaking of reporting season, we'll be keen to hear what companies have to say about their AI integration and whether the investment in the technology is already paying dividends. We saw a sell-off in software-related company shares recently, especially in the US, amid fears AI will eat into their business models. And today, a particularly interesting story is that of the insurers. Their stocks sold off. IAG, Suncorp and QBE here all tumbling pretty hard because of an AI insurance comparison tool that was launched in the US, adding to fears about industry disruption. There's a lot to unpack here, but what's your take on the AI story?
Yeah, I think that's the big question, and that's the one that is dividing investors at the moment. And I think if we circle back to your original question about last Friday's move and then regaining it again on Monday, investors hate uncertainty, and they're facing at the moment some unprecedented levels of business model uncertainty. And what I would say is that this AI disruption is very real. It is happening in real time, and it's happening at an accelerating pace, and it is going to be very, very disruptive. And I think the difficult component of it is that it's very, very disruptive for now to some of the very, very best businesses in the world, the software businesses, as you pointed out. They've been stalwarts of many, many portfolios, of many, many indices. They generate tremendous profitability and margins. And they're the ones that we're starting to see the impact the most. But when we look at it, we approach it, I guess, from a number of different angles. But first of all, we approach it from a top-down perspective. We think this disruption in software is incredibly bullish. We think it probably is a harbinger to impending productivity boost for a whole host of companies that really could start to harvest AI in a much more ubiquitous way. One of the examples that we like to refer to, and we did it today with a host of people, was that the Global Software and Services Index has lost a little over, I think it's something in the order of about US $2 trillion since its peak at the end of October. The World Index, so the MSCI World Global Equities, they've added a net US $3 trillion in market cap over that period. So although one of the most important sectors, one of the highest quality sectors, has seen outright wealth destruction, it's actually been a reallocation of value away from the software sector, we think, to other parts of the market. So it's not destroying overall value at all, simply reallocating them away from siloed, very high margin businesses to a host of other businesses and sectors. And for us, we think that means that productivity is just no longer locked behind these high margin specialized software silos. And instead, we're going to actually find that these AI agents are going to be used much more widely with much greater effect. And what that will ultimately mean, I think, is that investors are going to get a broadening opportunity set of investments. So we kind of, I guess to summarize, we liken AI to a bit of a bushfire. Sometimes you just need to scorch the earth to let the new growth take hold. And I think that's what we're seeing.
That's a great analogy. And just to wrap up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, so it's very, very similar to what we've been saying probably for the last 6 months. And that is, yes, the US is an exceptional place to find investments, and there will be opportunities to allocate there. But if we had a marginal dollar, we're certainly looking to non-US markets. And one simple sanity check that we remind investors is that till recently, the US was something in the order of about 70% of global equity value. And so if you took the trend over the past 15 years, if that continued, it would mean that the US would be 100% of the global equity value in about 15 or 16 years. So we could forget about software eating the world. It would be the US eating the world, and we wouldn't have anything to talk about other than the US. And so that feels very, very unlikely. And so for us, it continues to be, let's allocate towards Europe, let's allocate towards Japan and EM equities. And they outperformed the US last year. And over the last 3 months, they've continued to outperform. So we actually think that opportunities are not only broadening geographically, we think they're broadening from a market cap perspective, i.e. smaller and mid-cap equities. And we think factors, so style, so quality, growth, value, dividends, they're all going to be a little bit divergent, and that should create plenty of opportunities for investors.
That's Todd Hall there from LGT Wealth Management, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Tomorrow we expect to have the CEO of the Commonwealth Bank, Matt Comyn, talking through his results, a deep dive into how the Commonwealth Bank is dealing with AI, and a bit of a look into the Australian economy. So join me for that on the podcast tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Secret agent, criminal mastermind, or Australia's answer to Robin Hood?
He was quite brilliant. He was a crook.
Mark Fennell presents a bizarre true crime mystery.
One of the wildest stories in Australian modern history.
It was like a day in James Bond, really.
The man who fooled a nation.
Did he ever tell you he was a spy?
Whoa, that got my attention.
Australia's greatest con man starts 24th of February on SBS and on demand.